I love Manny Machado. I'm just going to start the third base preview out with that. I love Manny Machado. Give me a good reason, Scott, now, why Manny Machado's not going to have a huge year and outperform his draft position.
Well, just in case he gets hurt again, but...
Hurt, another knee.
He's gotten enough injury
he's
already.
He's gotten the two down, so you don't have three knees. He's taking care of them both.
That's exactly my thinking. He doesn't have three knees, so he's going to be fine.
Yeah.
I'm excited about Manny Machado. We'll find out who Scott White and Al Melchior are excited about. I'm Adam Azer. Fantasy Baseball Today podcast on Wednesday, February 18th. And apparently it's going to be 35 degrees in South Florida tomorrow night.
It has never... I've been down here for 17 years. Yeah, and that is the coldest temperature I will have experienced.
Wow,
yeah, South Florida.
Ditto for me in 30 years. I just came back from New York, and I get 35 degree weather. That's
you cool. Brought the New York with you.
I guess I did. I'm glad to be here, looking at you guys in this room, bringing back memories. Very excited. I've got a stat of the day for you, or I've got two actually. I've got a bunch of third base questions. We'll go through the draft. You know the drill by now. Tomorrow mailbag, fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. That's the letter I. Put baseball podcast in the subject line. Try to ask us good general questions that can help everyone. And we'll talk about Kenley Jansen and some other things from around baseball.
I know people have emailed us stuff about Billy Joel, so yeah, we'll talk about that, right?
We did get some good Billy Joel feedback. We certainly did. Stat of the day number one as it relates to third base. Josh Donaldson last year was pretty good, right? Well, on the road, he was .276, .361 on base, .513 slugging. At home, .395 slugging, only hit .233. So that was obviously when he was with Oakland. Now he's with Toronto. Slightly better ballpark. A much better ballpark. Is he going to have a huge year? And we're all going to be drafting him in the first round in 2016.
In 2016? I don't think that huge. Maybe second round.
Look, he's borderline first rounder now. Yeah. I don't know. That's not so far-fetched to me when you consider the change in venue. If I had to predict, I'd say no. But anytime a guy is potentially the best player at his position, he's a candidate for the first round, I think.
Stat of the day number two is .375 for Matt Carpenter. Do you know what that is?
His batting average.
Definitely not his batting average.
How much he paid for gas 6 months ago?
No, and he's that would be a lot lower today, wouldn't it?
His on-base percentage?
It is his on-base percentage. It's also his slugging percentage.
Oh,
Matt Carpenter
last year.
Last year.
But if you look at his career, are you going here?
No, I'm not. I just thought that was amazing. He had a .375 on-base and slugging last year.
Well, look at the previous 2 years, and it was much higher. Like about 80 to 100 points higher, I think, and his minor league track record's the same. So I feel like last year was more the fluke actually than 2 years ago. Now there were some things he did 2 years ago that were kind of fluky, but the guy has some pop, and he talked about after he hit, I think it was 4 home runs in the Cardinals 2 postseason series, like basically looks like a different player than he did during the regular season, and how he changed his approach. He was a little more aggressive than he had been, and he thought maybe that was the better way to go from now on. And I remember there was this issue with Matt Carpenter at the beginning of last year in April. Remember, he got off to a terrible start, was striking out a lot, and the walk rate was super high. And if you just watched him play, it looked like he was trying to walk. So it kind of just all like comes together to make the story fit that, you know, leadoff guy, he got it in his head, his job is to get on base, which is something he's very good at naturally, but that kind of changed his profile as a hitter and robbed him of some of his power potential. It wouldn't surprise me if Matt Carpenter had a 40 double 15 homer type season this year.
Well, that said, you guys have Matt Carpenter 7th in your points rankings. Looking up Roto rankings right now, which is not his good format. Al has him 14th, and Scott, you have him 8th. So a big difference there. Now, in 2013, he was a top 3 second baseman in either format, and third baseman, based on this year's player pool. So he had a huge year, and he's the kind of guy, along with Longoria, Wright, Beltre to a degree, there are just so many question marks. Chris Davis at third base. It is such a weird position this year. So before I ask you guys for good and bad picks from our previous drafts, I have a performance-enhancing drug of the day, and that would be Adderall for Chris Davis. He will be able to use it in 2015 after you know, he got suspended for it for his use in 2013. Did not use it in 2014, right?
Well,
that's the impression we're under.
Well, obviously he did at some point.
Yeah, because he got suspended for it.
But I thought that was for a test in 2013.
Well, no, because I'm pretty sure it wasn't. Wait a second. In 2000, make sure I'm following you correctly.
2013, when he had a huge year, he was using it, right?
Yeah. But last year.
Okay.
I think 2 years ago he had an exemption.
Right.
He did. The same exemption he has now.
Right.
He didn't get the exemption cleared last year, and so he got nailed for it.
Right. Okay. But now he can use it again. He's suspended for opening day. So is that going to make a huge impact for Chris Davis? Because I actually think that could make a huge impact for Chris Davis.
No, just because he's missing opening day, that's not going
to
much.
No, being able
that's
to use
that right now.
Being able to use Adderall and hopefully bouncing back from a horrible.
I don't think it could hurt. I'm, you know, I focus more on the fact that he had complained of dealing with the after effects of an oblique injury. But I think when you pile on the fact that he does have the exemption again this year, I just don't think it hurts him.
Give me good and bad from our drafts at third base.
Well, my favorite pick was in our Roto Mock, David Wright in round 8, after you had Seager and Seager going round 7.
Chris Davis in round 7, Santana round 6, Zimmerman round 6.
Right. Well, yeah, the Zimmerman and Seager and... those picks stand out to me as the ones that were right two or three rounds later. Seems like a great value. I don't know for sure that Wright's going to bounce back, but his career has had so many ups and downs, particularly in recent years, that I think he's still young enough to get back to being the 300-hitting, 20-homer second baseman he basically was in 2012 and 2013. And for an eighth-round pick at a position that thins out pretty quickly there, yeah, I'll go for that.
Al, good pick.
I like in our head-to-head points mock mixed, Todd Frazier going with the first pick in the 6th round. I don't expect that he'll go that late that often.
I'll throw him in that mix of it's such an interesting position.
That in the points league or the Roto League?
Points league.
Okay.
He went around 4 in the Roto League.
Yeah, it'd blow my mind if it happened in the Roto League.
Yeah, and obviously that is his better format, but I still think this is great value.
Yeah, and we... In that Roto mock draft, Manny Machado went in round 12. So
that's a good pick too.
Yeah, let me just fawn over Manny Machado.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
So look, he didn't have spring training last year, and he was recovering from knee surgery 2 straight off seasons basically. This time he's finally going to have a spring training. Should be healthier. First 26 games of the season in 2014, he hit .210 with 2 home runs. Next 56 games, Machado hit .311 with a .353 on base, a .505 slugging percentage, 10 homers, 13 doubles in those 56 games. I just think he's young. He's ready to take that next step. If he stays healthy, I love him.
I think you kind of shortchanged him there with the cutoff point because over his last 144 at-bats, I don't know how many games that was, .347 with 8 home runs and a .957 OPS. And this is a guy who's just now 223, something like that. So, you know, at an age where most players are just breaking into the big leagues.
Right.
He was compared to Alex Rodriguez when he was drafted. It just seemed like there was going to come this year eventually when he just exploded. And we may have seen it start to happen last year before he blew out his other knee. So I'm with you. I just wrote about him in my breakouts column. He was one of my 12. And actually, now that you pointed out he went 4 rounds later than Wright, I do think I like that pick even better.
So on yesterday's podcast, our second base preview, you said, Al, that your strategy was Colton Wong, that you really wanted to get him. Would it be a good idea, bad idea, somewhere in between to target Machado in the same way that you're targeting Colton Wong?
I think that it makes sense that I think he's got similar breakout potential, maybe even better breakout potential. But I do think that third base is a much deeper position than second base. So part of my calculus in targeting Wong is just that I don't really like the options beyond the top seven very much. And you know, if people really, if I find that others like Wong as much as I do, then, you know, then I'm probably going to need to find a new strategy. But So, I think Machado's got great breakout potential. I just feel like there's less need at third base to have a fallback option.
Who's your number one third baseman this year, guys?
Donaldson for me.
It is actually Rendon for me, but I know the eligibility's at work there, too. It's very close in terms of what I'd pay for them in an auction.
And Donaldson should go when? Or Rendon?
Both early second.
Agreed.
Bad picks in the two drafts we've done. Hit me with it.
All right. Well, you know how I said I liked Frazier with the number one pick in round six in that points league draft?
I remember that, yeah.
Yeah. Well, the pick right before that, last pick of round five, was Josh Harrison.
Yeah.
That is way too early.
Not based on what he did last year, but I'm assuming you guys don't see that happening. Josh Harrison's 27, so he's in his prime. He hit .315 last year. He stole 18 bags. He hit 13 homers. He entered 2014 with 7 career homers and 13 career steals in 229 games. He also had .372 with runners in scoring position last year, FYI. But why do we think Harrison will not be able to reproduce 2014?
I'm probably higher on him than most people are, but before the podcast that I was marking players I could call sleepers, breakouts, and busts, and he was one I put bust next to with a question mark because I do think you need to be careful with him. He had a .353 BABIP last year, or BABIP, sorry. We're trying to reprogram ourselves.
Oh, no. Gosh. You know it's BABIP.
I don't. The language evolves, Adam, and you have to evolve with it.
I think we actually went over this very extensively last year, where acronyms do not take on the same sounds of the words that they, whatever, modify or abbreviate. Like NASA.
Scuba.
Right, Scuba. I don't remember if NASA was one of the examples, because I'm not sure I know what NASA stands for.
Aeronautical, right? National Aeronautical.
Yeah, so it wouldn't be like NASA.
even if you're just going.
Scuba is a great example, because the U is underwater, right?
Right.
So even if you're just BABIP. Going phonetically, I don't think there's a clear precedent either way for what that A
sound should
make.
You need an extra B in the middle to make it BABIP.
Well, that would make it 100% BABIP, but I think there's enough examples in English of, you know, it's not like there's an E behind the second B that makes it clear.
What did you just have a few months ago? Name was Everett.
A baby?
Yeah, how do you spell that?
B-A-B-Y. Oh, I see what you're saying. I'm not arguing that. I just don't think it's 100% either way, but this is completely...
I'm sorry. Josh Harrison, yeah, let's reset here.
Yeah. So
you have him 11th and Al has him 13th.
.353 BABIP, that's probably too high. He's probably more like a .290 hitter than the .315 hitter he was last year, but still, a .290 hitter with potentially 12 to 15 home runs, 20 to 25 steals... is a big-time contributor. And I remember Dane Perry wrote an article at the end of last year. Dane Perry's super funny, and he's also super nerdy when it comes to his baseball stats, so he gets really into it when he wants to. And he talked about how, even though it's a high BABIP, clearly it's a more sustainable-looking high BABIP than most are because of line drive rate, and I think maybe I can't remember all the details, but like the fact that he sprayed the ball all over the field, etc. So he should be a good source of batting average. I don't think that's as much a concern as some people do.
But even you thought that was sixth round was too early for
yes,
him.
Yeah, for sure.
What was
that doesn't that's not it, that's not applying the caution I think you should apply when drafting Harrison.
What's your bad pick?
My bad pick is Pablo Sandoval in round 9 of that same head-to-head draft. That was just, two rounds after Wright went in that league and Machado went a round later. So Sandoval is a good postseason clutch hitter, I guess. But I think from a regular season perspective, he's about as blah as it can get.
Well, See, okay, Scott has Sandoval 16th. Al has Sandoval 21st at third base. He's not that. There's no way he's finishing 21st, Al. Give him a little bit of credit here.
Well, you know, last year he played, I think, 159 games, but that was a rarity for him. Okay, and I understand there's replacement level involved, but if you just think about what he actually produces, I mean, do you really think he's going to play that many games this year?
Probably not.
And the thing is, with a player like Sandoval, you don't really have to worry that much about replacement value because his per-game production isn't that much better than replacement value.
Yeah, I mean, he's not that good. But if he plays in a high-scoring lineup, I think he'll be like a solid around 12th best third baseman. Not necessarily that you're going to want him to be your starter, but he'll just put up the numbers.
To your point, Adam, he was the 10th best in head-to-head points right. league last year. Now, that was a year he stayed healthy, and he normally doesn't. And like Al was saying, the per-game production probably isn't what you want in a head-to-head league where every team's just starting one third baseman most likely. So it really comes down to, yeah, if you get burned at third base and you have to fall back on Sandoval, he won't kill you. But I'd rather go for Machado or even somebody like Chris Bryant when you're talking about a shallower format like that.
Sandoval was 10th in Roto, too. The only reason that I think he's interesting is he's going to Boston now. It's obviously a much better hitting environment for Pablo Sandoval. But over his career, he has a better home OPS than Roto OPS.
It's a pretty crappy place to hit for a left-hander. And,
it is.
That's as a switch hitter, that's how he mostly bats.
But I will also make the point that the AL East has four awesome hitters parks. So...
No, just three.
No.
Tampa's bad.
Yeah.
And that's it. What else?
Right.
Boston.
I wouldn't include Boston, so you got the other three.
Boston is not a great hitter's park?
It's good doubles park.
That's more for right-handers than left-handers. I think it's just plain bad for left-handers.
I don't think it's that bad. I understand left center's kind of big, but you got that stupid pole. I don't call it the pesky pole. I call it the stupid pole.
Yeah, you got to hit the ball just right to take advantage of the pesky pole.
I don't know. I never thought it was... Okay, fine. Fine. Deeper, shallow position, third base.
Weird, I think, is the best way to describe it. You hit it on the head. I do think it's a little deeper than second base this year, but there's so many hitters that could... make you or break you, like you were saying. So depending on what percentage of them make or break people, that's kind of the way it's going to go. It wasn't so deep last year, I should point out. Second base was actually deeper, at least judging through the top 12.
What do you think, Al?
Yeah, I think it's pretty deep. And, you know, it's weird, too. But when you get to the kind of mid-range options as compared to second base to go where Scott went, I can't get that enthused about taking a flyer on, say, you know, Neil Walker or somebody like that. And there's just a lot of third basemen that you don't have to give up a lot. I mean, at this point, you don't have to sacrifice that much to take a flyer on David Wright based on what we've seen in mocks.
Yeah, you know what's interesting is, like, we've had this conversation about third base having so many make or break guys, but a year or two ago, it was you had to take them in the second or the third round. You had to gamble on Wright. On Beltre turned out to be a good gamble, but everybody was always worried about him staying healthy and his age. Now, other than Beltre, Zimmerman falls, Longoria kind of falls, Wright obviously falls. So, and Chris Davis isn't going that high. So you don't have to invest as much in those risky guys.
And there are some newcomers. Two that have kind of, with the exception of Beltre still elite, like you were saying, and Longoria, I still rank pretty high. But Nolan Arenado and Todd Frazier, who we were talking about earlier, they're top five round guys, most likely. So there's it's not like there's this gaping hole between Beltre and Wright. There's some options to fill in there. Oh, Carlos Santana being eligible at third base now, too, and not eligible at catcher, so that's probably the position you're going to draft them to play.
So what's your strategy with third base?
I don't have a really specific strategy. It's just taking the best value for me. I'd like to get Rendon or Donaldson in the second round, but if I don't get the right spot, you know, I'm not gonna reach for him with the 13th overall pick or whatever. So probably, I know in a couple of the drafts we've done, I've been the one to get right in round 7 or 8. That, to me, is the end of a tier. Well, no, not really, because there's Machado there, too. It'll probably be Ryder Machado for me, who I'm drafting in the middle rounds.
What about Carpenter? You don't put him in the same
class? He's in the same tier. I'd be much more inclined to take him in head-to-head than Roto, but I feel like everybody's that way. Like, he might be a little overrated in head-to-head because he walks so much and hits so many doubles. So I may end up being Wright's just better value. But it depends. If Wright goes before Carpenter, then because they're in the same tier, Carpenter's the one I'm more likely to get.
Yeah, I don't go into a draft, or I don't see going into drafts with a very specific blueprint, say, well, I've got to get this guy, or I've got to get somebody within the top X number of players. But I just could see winding up with one of the top 5 third basemen in a lot of drafts and in a lot of leagues this year.
And those 5 are?
Donaldson, Rendon, Frazier, Beltre, Arenado.
Frazier scares me, Al. Sometimes he is so good, and sometimes he is dreadful.
Yeah. Yeah, he's not in my top 5, I should point out. He's 8th for me.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, well, I'm looking at Roto rankings. Yeah, you've got Longoria ahead of him. You do have him 6th in Roto.
6th in Roto, okay. Yeah, I had him pulled up in head-to-head. But I get what you're saying, Adam. And I actually, he's the one I marked as the bust without a question mark. Because...
Frazier.
Yeah, Frazier is. But the main reason isn't so much because I don't trust the power or whatever. He's done that two of his 3 full seasons, basically. He's slugged close to .500. It's more about the stolen bases. They were so critical to his value last year. He had 20 of them in 28 attempts, which isn't a great ratio. And I feel like a lot of the green light he had was because the Reds were so desperate for offense with Jay Bruce not himself and Joey Votto hurt most of the year. And they've added Marlon Byrd in the offseason, which I think can only help. So I don't know that he's going to get the green light as much. And if he's just if he goes back to being a 5-steal-a-year guy, then that's going to drop him out of the top 5, I think, pretty significantly.
That's interesting. I attributed the steals, because again, it wasn't just him, it was, you know, a lot of guys in the Reds lineup, to the change in managers.
Yeah.
So it'd be an interesting test to see. But yeah, part of the appeal of Frazier for me is the speed on top of the power, which, like you, Scott, I do trust. So I feel like each of those top 5 guys are pretty solid. And compared to other positions, this is one where I think in the early rounds, I'm going to look at my options and say, well, outfield's kind of thinning out a little bit, and I definitely want to wait on second base, shortstop, and catcher. And yeah, it's time to get a third baseman. So I think again and again, I'll probably get one of those 5 players.
I think I'm going to avoid 3 of the, I guess I'm thinking it was like a big 4 at one point. It was Beltre, Zimmerman, Longoria, and Wright. And I feel like I'm going to avoid all but Beltre, unless Wright falls a lot more than the other.
Yeah,
the others.
He's the one who seems to fall.
Zimmerman.
Like Zimmerman,
oh, you're right. Zimmerman does fall, but I just, gosh.
Well, he went in the 6th round in the Roto draft we did. I don't know where.
But I think
went
that was me.
I have like no interest in Zimmerman.
Me neither. He's kind of like the way everybody complains about Troy Tulowitzki never staying healthy. Zimmerman's kind of the same way, except there's so many comparables at his position that my approach is why I even bother with him, but I know Al likes him a lot, so I'll talk about him.
And liking him a lot isn't saying that I'm elevating him above David Wright.
What do you have ranked?
I've got Zimmerman. Okay, well, actually do have him above Wright, but it's bunchy. So I want to clarify what I'm saying. I've got him, actually, for Roto, I've got him 6th at $15. Longoria, 14. Santana, 13. Davis and Seager, 12. Wright, 11. Machado, 11. So it's very bunchy there. And I'd be pretty happy with one of those guys. So that's the thing about third bases. Like I said, I could see getting one of the top guys often. But if it doesn't work out that way because of how the draft unfolds, I'm very happy with most of the guys whose names I just rattled off, because Zimmerman's going to fall, Davis is going to fall, Wright is going to fall. And I think they all could be in that top 5. I mean, can't all be in there at the same time because there's only five spaces in the top five.
But, Who's the most likely to bounce back? Because there are a lot of bounce back candidates at third base.
And see, and I think Zimmerman's a prime one.
He's going to play first base this year. Maybe that keeps him healthy.
I think it keeps him healthy. It takes the defensive distractions away, most likely. And prior to last season, he'd been very consistent. 20 to 25 home runs, 280-ish batting average.
Yeah, you know, I guess what stood out to me was when I was looking up when he was hitting those 25 home runs, he never really – he wasn't like a top three third baseman. He's like top five. He was never truly, truly elite, in my opinion, based on what I saw when I just looked at previous rankings, previous results.
Oh, he had that 133 homer year where he was without question elite, but that was way back in 2009.
Okay,
a long time ago.
You're right. Since then, it's like he's been when he's been good, but never a guy that's really going to change things for you. That's why I don't really want to have
him. He's been kind of Todd Frazier without the steals. You're right. And that's
like hitting 25 home runs for a third baseman is not going to set the world on fire, right?
No, but you're going to be happy with it with a good batting
There's
average.
So much downside with him, though.
Compared to the guys that we just named, they all have downside.
That's why I don't want them.
Well, and again, I feel like we're going, you know, kind of in circles here. But that's what I said. I would like to get one of the top guys if I don't have to overpay for them. But then when you're at a part of the draft where what are you choosing? You're choosing between proven mediocrities, unproven guys with enormous upside, and then, you know, the Zimmermans and Wrights of the draft pool who have upside of their own, and they're more proven.
So if you were going to pick one to bounce back, and this includes Longoria, Chris Davis, Zimmerman, Wright, any other guys who stunk last year?
Did you say Chris Davis?
Yeah.
Okay.
Who would it be? Would you pick Zimmerman?
Well, I actually think the most likely, and it's just because there's really doesn't seem to be anything to the downfall, is Longoria. He's still in his prime, and last year was so out of character for him in terms of power. That being said, he tends to go a lot earlier than these guys. He tends to be more around four or five, so I'm probably not going to draft him, but he would. He gives me the most confidence. And honestly, Davis, if we're saying bounce back to what he was in 2012, the 270 hitting 33 homer guy, rather than the MVP caliber guy of 2014, I think he's a better bet to bounce back than he's on the higher end of those guys in terms of bounce back potential.
I want to point something out about Chris Davis. 2012, 33 home runs with a 270 batting average. 37 walks, 169 strikeouts. If he gets back to the 2012 numbers, forget about the 53 homers in 2013. He would have been the number six third baseman based on all the players eligible this year at third base. Davis would have been number six in 2012 in Roto, but in points he would have been number 10. So just keep that in mind. That walk to strikeout ratio is awful. So did you have one bounce back guy if you had a pick from that group?
Not really, because I do have Zimmerman ranked the highest, but they're all very close, and it's really – I probably would go in order of my rankings, but I'd be pretty equally happy with any of them.
You know, in that group is Carlos Santana, in that draft range, not in the bounce-back group. He got off to a very slow start last year, and he only hit .231, lowest batting average career, so I guess he has some bouncing back to do. But is he sort of the answer if you want stability at the position in those rounds in that range? Like, how do you guys view Carlos Santana?
I think that's a really good way to put it. I think you know pretty much what you're going to get, and it's not going to be what you saw at the beginning of last year when he was playing third base and not playing it very well. Once he shifted over to first, he started hitting like Carlos Santana again. And you know you're going to get not a great batting average, but not a horrible one, you know, .240, .250. With pretty good power and a great on-base percentage.
How about the 27 homers, though? That was a career high for Santana.
He should normally be in the 25 range, yeah. I think. I don't think that's too far off.
He's a lot better in points than he is in Roto, just to point that out.
And I think there's something to the point that I kind of alluded to it. There came a time when he became strictly a first baseman, and that seems to be what he's going to be from now on. And that's really the first time he's had a chance to settle in at that position. And his stats from that point forward were the best Carlos Santana we've ever seen, and he's right in his prime. So I think there's a chance that he could be slightly better than we've known him to be in the past. Not that he's going to hit 290 or whatever, but you know, coming closer to 30 home runs maybe with a batting average more like 260, 270.
True or false? This is the year Adrian Beltre starts to fall apart. False.
I got to say false based on where I've got him ranked, but it's a concern. And out of the top guys, it's probably he and not Frazier that I'm going to be the slowest to pull the trigger on.
Yeah. Well, he only hit 19 home runs last year. My theory is the team and the lineup were so terrible that it didn't do him any favors.
Yeah.
That works
for
me. That's
just my stupid theory that has no scientific backing on it or anything like that. Because he still hit 324.
And I think he missed a little more time than he had in recent years, too, right?
He played 148 games.
Yeah, so.
Good.
Yeah,
I'll
not
take
bad.
It. All right, we'll get back to him in a little bit. How does the position change in AL only and NL only, fellas?
Well, we actually just finished an AL mock, so.
Oh, I took Machado.
It
FYI.
Should.
It's a little better in the AL, more because of the. Mid-range, well, you know what? I think it's about even.
I felt fine in that AL-only draft kind of waiting. I didn't feel compelled to have an elite guy. Like, there was Sandoval. I know you don't like him, but I wouldn't mind him in an AL-only league if I was one of the last guys to take a third baseman. You know, there was Plouffe.
Yeah, in an AL-only league, there's Plouffe. You can't mind him. Plouffe is, you know, it depends if it's a roto league with the corner infield spot or not, but Plouffe seems like... I missed out on everybody, and I have to take Plouffe now kind of guy.
Like Headley was probably like a reserve pick. I'm just saying.
He was, yeah.
If you wait and wait and wait on third base in AL only, there's some options there.
But yeah, I think it's pretty solid throughout the position.
Probably the same in NL only, too.
Yeah, I think NL only's just a little lighter on the top end. But, yeah, pretty similar.
For all you NL only, AL only players, we'll do some podcasts surrounding the drafts once we complete the NL only draft. We'll do a podcast kind of talking about strategy in those leagues. Different values for third baseman depending on points versus roto. Carlos Santana better in points leagues. Chris Davis better in roto leagues. Carpenter better in points leagues. Anything else?
I would call Harrison better in points leagues.
And actually, so is Plouffe. Plouffe's better in points leagues.
Yeah.
Especially if he doubles like he did last year.
Yeah, a lot of doubles there. Machado could go either way. Depends if he hits a lot of home runs or not. But he's not a good plate discipline guy.
Did you know that Trevor Plouffe had more fantasy points per plate appearance than Evan Longoria and Matt Carpenter last year?
No, I did not.
His doubles were off the charts.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me. He had a sneaky good year, but I don't really think he's that good. And now that Miguel Sano, right, I said that right, Miguel Sano.
Yeah, yeah.
If you don't make it clear right away, I have to ask it on the air. Now that he's back from Tommy John surgery, I think Plouffe is just holding on there.
By the way, maybe a minor point, but when we were talking about position scarcity, AL versus NL, one thing. I think you have to take into account when you're going into the NL only draft is that Rendon is obviously your best NL option, but you're almost certainly going to want to play him at second. So I think that does affect your strategy somewhat.
Breakouts, sleepers, busts, all that stuff. Blank is my favorite sleeper third baseman in 2015.
Well, I only marked one guy as a sleeper.
That's an easy pick.
It is. It's, I think everyone's heard of him. His name is Chris Bryant. And it's not going to have a job right away, probably. There's a chance. But he is amazing. And he's been just unbelievable no matter where they've stuck him in the minors. So I'm inclined to believe that's going to continue in the majors. And he's going to be one of those Ryan Braun type prospects who just owns as soon as he shows up.
When would you draft Chris Bryant, Cubs third base prospect?
In a standard mixed league, he probably like around 14, I would begin to think about taking him. But it may depend to some degree on whether or not I have a third baseman already. If I didn't and I just waited forever, I might go a little earlier for him and then maybe make do with like a Trevor Plouffe at the beginning of the season.
I actually see Bryant kind of similar to Javier Baez, that I think that's a great time in the draft to take him in the early to mid-teens. You're not passing up on too much to do it. And yet I really do fear that he may not return that value. And I worry about strikeouts with him and batting average. He's been a high BABIP guy in the minors. He doesn't pop up a lot. If he can continue that trend, that's great. But I think it's asking a lot of a rookie. And, you know, a lot of great prospects take 2 or 3 years to break out.
Bab, I got you, Bab. Right? That's how they pronounce it,
yep.
After all. So who's your favorite sleeper? Sorry, every time you say Babbitt, I'm going to get mad. Every time I ask you for a sleeper, I interrupt you. So who's your favorite
That's
sleeper?
Fine, because I'm going to have to make one up here, because I don't really truly have one, because the guys who I think, I guess it would be the guys that we talked about earlier, the you know, after the top five, Zimmerman, Wright, Davis. If you force me to pick one, I think Davis, because I think he's got the biggest bounce back potential.
Simeon?
Yeah, okay. I'm not going to use him as
a
third baseman. No, I won't.
All right.
There's
fine.
No way. There's no way I'm going to use any second base, third base, dual eligible player as a third baseman.
You say that now, but wait until there's an injury on your roster.
So, I'll say Chris Davis, I think, because I do think he'll go later than he probably should. And I'll go deeper here, because I kind of like David Fries in deeper leagues as a
really?
As a sleeper. Yeah.
Interesting.
Because,
why?
He had a really good second half for the Angels last year. That was very close in production to what he did in his best year that he had with the Cardinals. Now, that one year with the Cardinals, where I think he hit 20 home runs even, that's an outlier in his career. He's been hurt a lot. But he's young enough that I think he could get back to that level. And that's a little production that could help you, certainly in deeper leagues.
I wanted to mention one other name because I know we both like him a lot. Marcus Semien.
I said.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, you must have been doing your research.
I guess so.
It happens.
Well, he's also eligible at second. He's going to gain shortstop eligibility, so you may not draft him to play third. We can talk about him some other time. Or we already did.
We talked about him a lot.
Second base.
Yeah. All right, favorite breakout third baseman, Al.
I feel like this one's a little bit of a cheat, but I'm going to go there anyway. I included him in my breakouts column, and that's Nolan Arenado, because he broke out last year, but he missed about a third of the season. So just by virtue of assuming better health and more playing time, he'll have better counting stats. But I actually think even the rate stats for Arenado can get even better, because he's been a really great contact hitter already in the majors, but even better in the minors. So I think he can hit for a higher average, and he only hit 2 home runs on the road last season.
I know.
So I have to think that he has the power to do better than that.
Same amount of fantasy points per plate appearance as Adrian Beltre. Arenado's going to be 24 in April, batted .287 with 18 homers in only 111 games. Could he be the number one third baseman this year?
I don't like his odds with Donaldson there.
Mm-hmm.
I could see him at the end of the year being kind of similar to Rendon in production.
Because people are loving Nolan Arenado.
They should. I totally agree with everything Al said. Look, he hit 18 home runs in basically two-thirds of a season last year, so just translate that out. With all the contact he makes, potentially a 300-hitting 25-homer guy, I mean,
just hope he doesn't get traded.
He struck out in like 1 every 8 at-bats last year. That's ridiculous for a guy with any amount of power.
He had that crazy hitting streak. I don't remember what it was.
28 games, I think.
28. Okay, how about a breakout for Scott and then a bust real quick, guys. Then we'll go through the draft.
I have 2 breakouts, Arenado and Machado, and we've already talked about them extensively.
Perfect.
Yeah.
And a bust.
My bust, Frazier, I mentioned him. Harrison was the bust with a question mark. So a little further down here, I have Pedro Alvarez. And he's kind of one of those guys who could go either way, because if the Pirates do stick with him all season long as their first baseman, I think there's a good chance he hits 30 home runs. if he does that for the price you paid for him, you don't really care what the batting average is. But because he is going to hit for a low batting average, doesn't get on base a lot, he's basically just an all-or-nothing hitter. And he's not a natural first baseman. The Pirates, I could see the Pirates just kind of getting tired of him and either benching him or maybe dealing him or some combination of the two, especially now that they're kind of sticking their neck out for Andrew Lambeau, who in the minors the last couple of years has been about a 950 OPS guy, showed big power down there. Seems like, you know, obviously he has to prove himself in the majors, but seems like a more well-rounded hitter than Alvarez. And they said after trading Travis Snyder, they want to give Lambeau more at-bats. Well, their outfield is kind of already stacked. That's the other position he plays. It's stacked with Marte, McCutchen, and Polanco. So I could see him cutting into Alvarez's at-bats and maybe overtaking him.
Bust.
Pablo Sandoval. No way he returns
okay.
any kind of value if he's drafted above the later rounds.
All right, let's see where he was drafted. Here are our 12-team roto draft results, all the third basemen you can handle. Adrian Beltre was the first one off the board, 17th overall. Rendon, 18th overall. And Donaldson, 19th overall. So they all went in the middle of round two. Beltre, Rendon, Donaldson.
I can see, even though I won't be doing it, taking Rendon ahead of Donaldson, I don't get Beltre. With Donaldson making the move to Toronto, I don't see how you have any doubt about him having a huge year.
And you do see having some doubt about Beltre.
Yeah.
I understand. Okay.
Thanks.
What if it was Rendon, Donaldson, Beltre, but all in the second round? Would you still be okay with Beltre in the second round?
That's probably how I'd do it, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I get that because then, you know, if you're not totally buying into Arenado, if, you know, you're listening to Scott and you're scared to draft Frazier, then, you know, that makes a whole lot of sense. It's really not that early to draft him anyway.
Then we had Frazier in round four. This is Roto, and this is his better format. Arenado, first pick of round five.
That's good.
All good.
Yeah,
that's where you want to get him.
Evan Longoria, second pick of round five. So there's in this draft a one-pick difference between Arenado and Longoria. In your minds, how many picks should be in between? It's a tough question, but you know what I'm getting at. Arenado and Longoria.
That's according to my rankings, and I think I have Longoria higher than Al does. That seems about right. What I hope happens if I get to that point of the draft and don't have a third baseman yet is I hope Longoria goes, and then I can jump in and draft Arenado. If it goes the other way, I'm probably passing up Longoria, so take that for what it's worth.
I get this. Again, don't completely agree with it, but it's the second pick of an odd-numbered round, so you are probably not going to get the third baseman you want when it comes back to you. But I just, in that position with Arenado just going and maybe being disappointed that Arenado's off the board, maybe had him at the top of my queue, I just can't see jumping at Longoria. And for that matter, probably not any of the guys, including Zimmerman, who I've ranked next. I probably would just take my chance and hope that, you know, Chris Davis or somebody that I still like a lot is available next round.
There's a guy we haven't spoken about at all. We'll get to him now. So after those first five rounds, which give us, what, six third basemen, Beltre, Rendon, Donaldson, Frazier, Arenado, Longoria, we go to the first pick of round six in this draft. Ryan Zimmerman, Carlos Santana goes in round six, Chris Davis in round seven, Kyle Seager, haven't spoken about him, in round seven, David Wright, round eight. So Zimmerman, Carlos Santana, Chris Davis, Kyle Seager, David Wright, all in rounds six through eight.
Well, I think you can pin the same label on Seager that you did on Santana.
That's what I was going to say.
You want stability. He really kind of defines that. And it's a completely appropriate place to take him.
But let me ask you this about Seager. So it seems like he's getting incrementally better kind of every year. Like, and he's 27 now. He's still in his prime. He had 25 home runs last year. And the weird thing was, last year his home road splits totally flipped. But he stays healthy, but he hit .893 OPS at home and 16 homers. And a .694 OPS on the road with 9 homers. Whereas in 2012 and 2013, it was the complete opposite. I don't know if that means anything to you guys. But it does show me that he can hit at Safeco. So, like, is there potential for him to truly break out?
I think not a lot.
No, I think this is who he is, and that's fine. I'm not excited about him in round seven. I don't love any of these picks, Zimmerman, Santana, Davis, Seager. I'd like Santana in round six if it was a points league, maybe. But I don't love it in Roto.
You like Seager or Wright?
I have Seager ahead of Wright, but I'd rather be the guy taking Wright around later.
Agreed.
Seager or Santana?
Santana.
Seager or Chris Davis?
Seager.
I'll go Davis.
All right, let's move on. And Josh Harrison in round nine. We know we don't like that one. Matt Carpenter in round nine. This is Roto, his inferior format. Manny Machado in round 12. All right, we'll go back to that. Harrison and Carpenter in round nine. They're closer to the Seager-Wright group than any other group.
Yes. I have them all tiered together, yes.
Okay. So what do you guys think about Carpenter in round nine? Looks like he's like the 12th third baseman. I'll do the counting.
I'm just not that wild about him in Roto. I think it's okay. I don't think it's a huge stretch.
He's 13th.
Yeah. So, I think it's okay.
Machado in round 12.
That's a lot better.
Marcus Semien, last pick of round 13. Okay, after Machado, now you're picking corner infielders, right?
Well, and some of these picks get kind of reachy to me, so yeah.
Semien in last pick of round 13, Chris Bryant, 14, Pedro Alvarez, round 15, Sandoval, 16. You guys want to chime in? I think we kind of talked about just about everyone there.
Well, as the Semien owner, I'll explain myself, because I really don't love the options after Machado. So when Machado's off the board, it's Semien time for me. And, of course, I'm not using him as a third baseman, so that actually I shouldn't say when Machado's off the board, because it's whatever second baseman came off the board, which was earlier than when Machado came off the board.
Mm-hmm.
But probably just looking at the cues and seeing that, you know, Semien was one of the better options at both positions, I felt like I had to move pretty swiftly to get him there.
And then the last five third basemen, or last four third basemen, to be drafted in this 12-team Roto League, 23 rounds. Chase Headley, Aramis Ramirez, Martin Prado, and Brett Laurie. Chase Headley, Aramis Ramirez, Martin Prado, and Brett Laurie.
Okay. If somebody missed out on a good corner infielder, I guess. I think we can mark this day officially as confirmation that I am over Martin Prado. I've been in his corner for so long. But it's over. He's just not quite good enough anymore to pass the mixed league test.
Yeah, the other three, especially Headley and Ramirez, I feel like I could make a case for. Laurie's just always hurt. But he's still young.
And boy, he's going the opposite way of Donaldson going from Toronto to Oakland.
Exactly.
And for a fly ball hitter like him, that's just brutal.
And Ramirez, when he stays healthy, seems to have some good production. Chase Headley, maybe a year at Yankee Stadium will help. I don't know. His numbers at Yankee Stadium were really not that impressive. I think he slugged in the 390s. I'll tell you. 262, 371, 398 with six home runs. And this was amazing to me. Chase Headley has played parts of eight seasons. He has slugged over 400 twice. So maybe he's just not that good.
That's my approach.
Maybe not, though.
Yeah. And then, of course, there's A-Rod. I'm shocked he didn't get drafted. Gotten so many A-Rod questions on Twitter. People don't really think he's going to do something. What are you doing?
What's that?
What are you doing? I thought you were about to like tweet me or something.
No. I'm looking up something for Adrian Beltre here.
You know why they're high on A-Rod? Because he wrote them a handwritten letter, and they're like, wow, this guy really cares about me.
Do you have better cursive than A-Rod? I don't.
Oh, it's not even close. His cursive. Or the computer font that he used.
Come on, man.
Is better cursive.
That was kind of hastily written. I think he could have.
Wait a second. You think it was computer font?
Well, no. Not really. It could have been. I don't really think it was.
I mean, I would have put it past him.
That would have been funny.
Yeah, right?
Choose the most handwriting-looking computer font.
All right. So do we have anybody else to talk about? Deeper AL-only, NL-only kind of guys?
Okay. Well,
Scott, I'm sorry. Yeah, go ahead, Scott. I thought you were going to research for a second.
Well, I was, but the names immediately came to me. One of them is Sano, who I mentioned earlier. If I think he's going to knock Plouffe out at some point, that means he's taking over. And I think he could be Giancarlo Stanton-like hitter in the majors at their base, so that's awesome. Michael Franco, not quite the same ceiling, but better than his minor league numbers showed last year, especially if you break his season up into halves. You see how he finished the year. It was awesome. He'll overtake Cody Ashe at some point this year, and I could see him being I could see him mattering in mixed leagues, even if you're drafting him in NL only to begin the season.
What about Chisenhall and Moustakas? Are we done with them?
I'm done with Chisenhall, and I like his potential replacement, Giovanni Urshela. So he's an AL-only target for me.
How about two guys who did well, one in for only a little bit, one for most of the season last year, Yanhervis Solarte and Casey McGee?
McGee, he really showed what he was made of in the second half.
I'm sorry that you had to sigh that talking about these guys.
I don't like talking about Casey McGee. I wish he didn't exist. I'm sorry he still has a starting job in the big league. That was a little harsh, right?
Yeah, a little harsh.
And I don't think he'll have as good of a season as he did last year, but I don't think he's completely useless. I think he could hit for average. He's going to another pitcher's park. And part of the adjustment that he made in being an all-fields kind of gap hitter was that he was playing in Marlins Park. Mm-hmm. But, that for most of the season, that approach worked for him. He was driving in runs and hitting for average.
A couple months of the season. I don't know about most of the season.
No, I think up until about August.
Yeah, I would say so.
What was his final batting average?
His big thing was that he hit so well with runners in scoring position, right?
I believe so, yeah.
I mean, epic.
Yeah.
All right, one more guy that I wanted to bring up.
287. Okay.
Nick Castellanos. Nick Castellanos.
That's a good guy to bring up. I could see him having a breakout season, though I'm not putting much stock in it.
And I will say this about Moustakas. He taught me a valuable lesson last year. Spring training is worthless. Right?
Yep.
It is a good lesson. That's such an overstatement. It's worthless.
Well, not 100%, but the stats always get overblown every year. It's
okay.
Important.
That's a fair statement.
It's good for position battles and
there have been times where you could spot a breakout. Look, Dominic Brown 2 years ago, he seemed like a completely different hitter in spring training, and then he was. Of course, he sucked last year.
He was for like a month. He was a good hitter. Abraham Nunez, people like Lorenzo Cain. Yep.
2 years ago.
Well, Royals, you got to watch out. I learned that lesson with Mark Tehan, way back in whenever he was supposed to be their starting second baseman, and he had an awesome spring. Just their stadium in particular seems to be so hitter friendly.
Okay.
But that's true for true of a lot of the Cactus League. No, I just think you have to be, if you're going to the spring stats league leaders and saying, "Oh, I got to draft this guy cuz he's batting 425." Then yeah, that's pretty dumb. But if you're paying really close attention to what's going on peripherally with players who have certain pedigree or had shown signs of something in the past that intrigued you coming in, and everything that their coaches are saying about them isn't just coach speak, but it seems like there's something specific going on, then a lot of times you can sniff out these breakouts.
Okay.
A lot of times it doesn't amount to anything, but I think it's worth your while to give them some weight because it's paid off before. Julio Teheran's another good example. Before his rookie season, he was coming off a 5-something ERA in the minors, and it's like, is he even still a prospect? Well, he starts dominating in Kissimmee and wins a job, and people who drafted him late were happy that they did.
Lake Buena Vista.
Yeah, wherever. I think they might be in Kissimmee now.
Yeah, I think we're in the right county. So.
Yeah.
And also, it reminded me of a cool feature on Baseball Reference. When spring training, Cactus League and Grapefruit League starts, and they'll have the spring training stats, and they've got a little feature where you can see the level of competition that the hitters are facing, how experienced the pitchers are.
Jeez.
So, because cool. that's always a question that comes up is, well, they're fattening up on guys who are going back to Class A or whatever. And it's you can tease that out on Baseball Reference.
I bet if we typed in the little search box in Baseball Reference, is spring training worthless? Like, it would give us some type of
definitive. It would give us a 200-page thesis.
All right, guys, thank you very much. That's our third base preview. We'll do a mailbag tomorrow. So send us your emails at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. Scott, thanks.
Thank you.
Al, thanks.
Well, you're welcome.
Okay, I'm Adam Azer. Talk to you tomorrow.